Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Well, good morning. Happy rainy Monday. Happy Chase Claypool day. I laugh and start with a little bit of a light heart because it's not as gloomy as it is outside, at least when it comes to the future of the season. And as bad as the season looks after falling to 1-3-1 yesterday on a really difficult watch from an Eagles defensive standpoint, because Eagles defense yesterday allowing Chase Claypool to dominate them. Like, you knew going into the game, all right, that he was a problem, that he's a bad matchup. And I shared it with Andrew. I just showed the bro. Before the game yesterday, I go, Chase Claypool is going to be an issue for them. He's a bad matchup. And again, I'm just some piker idiot, right? It's pretty obvious that with their linebackers and safeties, a tight end wide receiver hybrid like Claypool is going to be an issue. Like, you could see that. And you got to scheme around it. You got Slay to take care of one of their pieces, right? Now, granted, they got some good players. Now, Deontay Johnson got banged up a little bit, but they got some studs. But you gotta figure that Claypool is going to be big in their offense and their scheme. You look at it. I know that's how I would attack when you look at the Eagles defense. The Eagles defense is pretty easy to figure out in that. You got to stay out of third and longs because they got a really good front, and you got to attack middle of the field. You got to attack. You know, you let your top receiver and Slay cancel each other out for the most part, and then you attack the rest of the field. I mean, that's kind of what it is. And you know, the linebackers are just atrocious. First of all, it was such a bad mishap that you can't allow Nate Geary to be on Claypool. You can't. I mean, it's like in the big moment, you can't allow that to happen. I mean, it was awful. Now, there were some good things that came out of it, which is why I'm not completely gloomy today on this rainy, ugly morning. I think you got a real receiver. I think so. I think Travis Fulgham is the real deal. That excites me. That we're not going to have to pine for receivers every week, even though this is the golden age of receivers. And Chase Claypool was taking 4 spots before Jalen Hurts. But I leave that alone. It looks like Travis Fulgham can play. That's a good thing. Carson played terrific. I thought he played well. And so that was good. The O-line, I thought, played well. There were some positives to take. And then, unfortunately, you got the situation in Dallas. And it's a shame for Dak Prescott because that's a gruesome injury. And then you had the whole contract thing. So it's a shame. Like, you never want to see that happen to anybody. And Dak's a good dude, and you don't want to see that go on. However, the fallout is Eagles are the best team in the division. When you go from Prescott to Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton's not terrible, but between Andy Dalton and that defense, which is terrible, I still think the Eagles, even should they lose, and I expect them to Baltimore, I still think that they're the best team in the division. As bad as the division feels and seems, I still think they got a shot to extend. And ultimately, that's what we want, right? We want the season to extend to the playoffs. Good morning, Chunas.
Yeah, good morning, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, what are you going to say? Other than they were, you know, that defense is
awful.
Well, it's not the whole defense, which is worse, right? Like, the front is really good, but it's not good enough to overcome the back six of the seven.
Right, because you're happy with Slay.
Slay's terrific, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the rest of those guys. I mean, you know, we get really excited over guys like Cravon LeBlanc because they make a few plays 2 years ago, and, you know, you see him getting exposed when it comes to being an every down corner, and he missed a big tackle in the first half on a third down, which hurt them. Nate Gary, do we even have to talk about it anymore? The dude sucks. Like, Nate Gary's just terrible, and Jim Schwartz is not a very great defensive coordinator to put him one-on-one with Nate Gary or with Chase Claypool. Then there's Rodney McLeod saying he saw it happening. Then why aren't you calling a timeout? You know, Brandon Graham after the game said that a lot of the stuff that the Steelers did, they practiced to defend. That's the second time now we've heard a defender on the Eagles say we knew what was coming but couldn't really stop it. So does that come back to Jim Schwartz? It also comes back to the awful personnel that they have.
Yeah.
And
yeah, terrible.
You know, and it's not like this is a season where I want Howie to go out there and make all these extravagant trades, right? You have to really depend on that front four and the other half to at least step up. Because you know Darius Slay's got one side locked
down.
Step
up if you stink.
Let's be real here. You know, you're right.
I mean, that secondary other than Slay isn't very good.
No, exactly.
And, I like McLeod, but, I mean, at this age,
yeah,
he's a shell. Yeah, and the other issue with McLeod is, and listen, I applaud his effort, and he's had a terrific career. But, you know, like, you're the quarterback of that defense. I need you in that spot to make sure that you were in the right defense.
Yeah, you said that you saw it. You said that you saw it. You saw that Ben Roethlisberger sacked him.
I have no doubt that he did.
And call
it timeout. He's a smart guy. Yeah, I mean, you got to step up in that situation. That's why you're on the field.
And then he also goes, because he was playing quarters defense. So you saw Roethlisberger check to Claypool, basically, you know, go deep, you got Nate Gary on you. And he knew that he was either covering that side of the field or the sideline. And then he still chose to defend the sideline.
I know.
Why? Why are you defending the sideline? You see Nate Gary one-on-one with Claypool. What are you doing? I don't know. I said this yesterday. If you told me the Eagles were going to score 29 points in that game, I go, wow, that was a win.
Really?
That's how, yeah. I didn't think the Steelers were going to put up 38 points.
Well, about 30.
I didn't think they were going to put up 30.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be an ugly game.
And
my prediction was 24-20. I thought it was going to be one of those kinds of games.
Mine was 24-23, which was an over.
Okay, yeah.
Give or take it.
38?
Here's what I didn't see. I didn't think that Claypool would score four times.
Nope.
And maybe a fifth. But here's the other issue with that defense, right? How many times are you going to get burnt with an end around?
Happens all the time. If you watch the tape against the Rams game, and that's probably what Mike Tomlin did, and then the offensive coordinator of Pittsburgh, they probably saw what they did, the L.A. did, and it was in the red zone or just midfield. They go, oh, wow, these linebackers can't keep up. Oh, wow, these DNs can't contain. Let's attack Derek Barnett. Let's attack Josh Sweat. They can't contain. And we saw, what, a touchdown on an end round with Claypool. And then they had the other receiver that had one for like 50-plus yards.
Yeah.
And you just watch the tape, just keep doing it. Yeah.
McLeod.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
He's a speed guy. That's brutal, man. It's absolutely brutal. And here's the issue. The shame is, like we said, the offense, Carson played well. Right? Look, that Travis Fulgham is legitimate, Andrew. They got lucky, and they, I think, have unearthed a real find. Because here's the thing. He's got good hands, he showed him.
Yep.
But his mechanics are good. His routes are really strong. He runs great routes.
And this is a guy that walked on at Old Dominion. right? And then was drafted in the sixth round last year. And he's already better than some of the guys you got. He's better than Ortega Whiteside.
Yeah.
Right? Like somebody asked me yesterday, are you tired of doing the whole Whiteside compared to X receiver, whether it's DK Metcalf or now Travis Fulgham? Yes, I am tired of doing it. But here's the thing. He was a second round pick two drafts ago. Just two drafts ago, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was a second round pick. That's why we're still doing it.
Yes.
But Howie Roseman and the Eagles got lucky with Travis Fulgham. They got lucky. It wasn't a find. Good find by Howie. He didn't even draft him.
Yeah.
He got lucky. He got cut by two teams.
No. They got completely lucky.
Yep.
But the bottom line is, though, he could play.
Yeah, the 50-50 ball down the sideline.
He finishes strong on his routes. He's a good route runner, precise. He's got good hands. He tracks the ball.
There's the one play yesterday. He makes the catch, and then Minka Fitzpatrick comes in for the big hit.
Well, he
bounces right off of him.
I'll be honest with you. I'm excited. Like, as bad as it was a loss, I was excited that they have a credible receiver now. And I like Greg Ward, too, in the slot. Like, I got no beef with Greg Ward in the slot. I like my receivers as... When Rager comes back, it's Rager, Fulgham, and Ward. I mean, the problem with DeShaun is you just can't count on him. And I got no interest in Alshon Jeffrey. I don't know what he's got. I like Fulgham. I really do. But here's the issue. The issue goes back to Schwartz. You got it's personnel and the defensive coordinator. And Andrew, I think it's pretty clear that should the Eagles not make the playoffs? Now, I think they actually are going to make the playoffs and somehow win this division, even with losing to Baltimore. Schedule lightens up. I think that Cowboy defense is trash. It's a horrible defense.
Yep.
I mean, the Giants that can't protect almost beat them yesterday.
Yeah. With no Saquon, too.
So... I think they're horrible. I think the Eagles beat them when they come here November 1st. And I think it's going to be the Eagles division. But should something happen, then Schwartz is gone.
I mean, and even if they make the playoffs.
I agree.
6-9-1.
I agree. It's not exactly, you know.
You can't go, wow, we won the division.
But at some point, and I think... The clock is started on Jim Schwartz because you can't use the Super Bowl. You could use the Super Bowl for Doug, without a doubt. You can use it for Howie. You can't use it for Schwartz because that defense did not play good, did not play well. And there have been issues with this defense. And again, how many times is this defense going to let you down?
I mean, it's... Hopefully,
you got a lot of money in that defensive line.
Yes, you do a ton,
and it's really good. I'm not criticizing. Really good.
If they don't get home every single play, you're in trouble,
right? But that's a real issue. Is what happens on the other side of it. So between the defensive line of Darius Slay and all the draft capital and money, look at the resources you put into that defense.
Yeah, Jalen Mills had another bad game. I mean, he's supposed to be Mr. Positionless Player.
Come on, man.
You know, that's a crock of you-know-what.
I mean, you want to talk about a biter. My God.
Yeah, the one play, Smith-Schuster, and it's
every week he bites.
But this, because remember, we're so used to him getting killed on the double move, Smith-Schuster just comes back. Right, he sells it. He did. I gotta give him credit. He sold it really well. But he comes back, makes the play, and actually pointed at Jalen Mills as he ran out of bounds.
Yes.
Like, I got you.
No,
he's so quick to wag his finger when it throws when it passes overthrown.
I mean, that's a problem. And their safeties are, I mean, you can't. You see the difference when you have a Minka Fitzpatrick back there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you're missing the years of a younger Malcolm Jenkins. I'm not saying if you brought back Malcolm Jenkins, it'd be any better, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, you would be, but you're right.
They also relied on, and we talked about this yesterday. Oh, well, why would they have these linebackers again? Well, here's why. Because they got by the last couple of years. Because Malcolm Jenkins was this hybrid safety linebacker, was able to do all kinds of stuff. Mills isn't that.
No.
So you're exposed even more.
See, here, and by the way, you're right. Malcolm Jenkins could play in the box.
Yes.
He could also be in nickel corner.
Yep.
So he did so many things to cover up everything, which is great. And that's why you signed a player like Malcolm Jenkins. It's a great, really good signing. The problem is you haven't drafted well in other spots, so you're trying to patch, right?
Yep.
So when you're trying to patch like that, you go, well, I got no more resources. I got to have just weak, you know, every man linebackers. I got to go bargain basement linebackers. And now you got bargain basement linebackers.
You know, there's plenty of linebackers in this draft this year.
Right.
Plenty. Right. But no, you drafted a gadget quarterback.
Do you see Queen?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's got, you know, what, 50, 60 tackles already?
Yeah.
I'm just
touchdown
saying.
Yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the point is you went elsewhere and you left yourself a position group to neglect. And the problem with Rodney McLeod is it just is his age.
Yeah, he's a step slower, a few steps slower. And he's had some bad injuries.
Yeah.
He had a bad ACL injury a couple years ago.
He's had a terrific career, but, you know, again, at this point in his career, he's a net negative. Right? Or at least he's not capable of overcoming what's around him. Like, he's fine if you have quality players around him, but
right.
If you have bad guys around him, you're done. Because he can get by on his guile and his smarts because he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like yesterday, if you see that, you got to adapt somehow.
Right away. You got to help out. He even admitted that that was his area of field that he was going to be covering. He had to pick between the sideline or that over the middle.
I know.
All right, well, if you recognize before the snap, oh my God, Claypool, one-on-one, Nate Gary, your first instinct should just be to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. And going back to the linebacker conversation, it's even worse that you drafted a project linebacker in the third round. They did address linebacker in the third round.
Yeah.
But they picked a guy who played 2 years of football.
I mean, ultimately, all roads go back to drafting.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. All roads go back to it. And the misses that have caused you to spend money elsewhere, it's just they've killed you, man. They've absolutely killed you.
I know way too many draft picks in Eagles history right now, right? Like, no. And who they missed, who yeah. happened after. I know way too many of these because it's been happening every single year.
Well, the most amazing thing is that Travis Fulgham catches 10 balls for 152 yards, right? 10 receptions for 152 yards. And you got to think against that defense, right? And you got to think, oh my God, if that comes out of nowhere, that's gotta work. No, you got to win, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still think if you score 29 points, you got to win. 29 points. Yeah. I mean, you know, you finally have somebody, right? The Fulgham, the 152 yards, but then you know you still have issues in the ground game. You know, Miles Sanders. You look right away. You go, wow, 11 carries, 80 yards. Yeah, well, one of them was for 74 yards.
Yeah.
Then he went 10 carries, 6 yards. So I don't know if is Sanders missing holes and that's why they completely go away from him, or is it because the offensive line is still, I know they played better yesterday, but maybe they're just playing well against the, you know, pass rush.
Yeah, I also think they miss, you know, they're missing a complimentary back as too, a top, sturdier back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time. I love Corey Clement,
yeah.
What he did in the Super Bowl, but he doesn't have anything left.
Yeah.
And what is Boston Scott? By the way, Boston Scott, can we get somebody else returning kicks?
Yeah.
My God, he was getting him at the 5-yard line and only getting to the 20. Yeah.
He's not exactly Darren Sproles.
No. No, he's not Devin Hester.
But again, that the offense wasn't the issue. It wasn't the issue.
No, Carson had a good game.
The offense was fine.
I had somebody try blaming Carson yesterday.
No, you can't.
I was like, get the hell out of here.
Oh yeah, I mean, come on, that's silly. I mean, that's just flat out stupid. The offense was fine. I mean, I could quibble little things here, little things there, but overall it was good. And when you have a Travis Fulgham performance, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and hopefully that lifts you up the rest of the season. Who's that secondary? You still don't have a burner, right? Hopefully when Rager comes back, Because John Hightower, you got to make that catch. Or at least touch the ball.
It went right through his hands.
Yeah, at least touch the ball.
Dude, it went right through his arms.
Yeah, that was bad.
And that ball was dropped in beautifully.
Perfect throw. Absolutely perfect throw.
How has he not even touched the ball?
Completely missed it.
It's like his hands were invisible.
I want to say Aguilar'd it, but, you know, he scored touchdowns.
I know. I can't even say that. It's horrible. It's like he's got no hands.
Yeah.
Right? Like just wrists.
He just completely missed it. Like,
yo, dude. That's a
yeah, at least get your, like, pinky on it.
That's a dime. How you not even close your hands? Oh, my God. Whatever. Yeah. But even all that stuff wasn't the issue. I would not have gone for the field goal. Not in that spot. It's hard to kick in Heinz Field.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that. I would have, know about this whole 53. Right?
53 yards is the longest field goal in Heinz Field.
And that field's been there for a while.
And again, now, you know, you could say, well, it's, you know, half the season's when it's cold. Yeah, but half the season's when it's warm. So,
right.
You know, it's a tough place to kick. It's outdoors. It's, you know, the turf. It's the whole thing. So I don't know why you try to kick it, but whatever. I mean, that's not the issue, right? None of the issue. The issue was defense, and we go back to the same old personnel. All right, we're just getting started. It's the Football Monday. Hanging out. Mm-mm-mm-mm. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975, that's how you reach us, Cuz Radio with the Chunas, just getting started.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.